a truly inspiring performance for the ages yesterday. Kevin Stefanski was asked about replacing the quarterback. This is the back and forth between Kevin Stefanski and the assembled media yesterday.
Did you think about pulling Deshaun any earlier?
Yeah, I'm always thinking about not putting him in harm's way.
But did you consider a change before that, though?
No. I mean, yeah, obviously in that fourth quarter, you know, we discussed it.
Given the struggles of the offense, how much, do you think significant changes are needed?
Yeah, we're not changing quarterbacks. We need to play better. I need to coach better. And that's really what it is.
Okay. I believe that. I really, 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 truly believe that. They ain't changing quarterbacks. You're going to get more of the same. Whether we like it or not. And right now, I don't like it. I don't know how you can like it. I don't know. There will be the wars will start with the fans. There will be people who defend the quarterback. There will be people who defend the coach. Listen, this is broken. This is broken. And they've quit on each other. I don't know if it's an offensive thing entirely, if it's a quarterback thing. Like, I questioned and then I immediately went, well, wait a minute. Like, I don't know if the wide receivers like playing in the offense. I mean, we could sit there and talk about playing with the quarterback, fine. I don't even like playing with the offense because I don't think they know what the offense is. I think they knew he was struggling and they knew he was going to struggle regardless of the injury. They see things differently than we do. They know the ins and the outs and what have yous. And you're making trades for wide receivers that you could possibly make trades for. You're in conversations about every single wide receiver under the sun, for crying out loud. And then you go out there and the offense wasn't broken. You get rid of Alex Van Pelt. Why? Lima, you said it yourself. You believe Kevin Stefanski, and you were told by people Kevin Stefanski didn't want to move on from Alex Van Pelt. They move on from Alex Van Pelt. They bring in Ken Dorsey. Why they bring in Ken Dorsey? Well, clearly to help with Deshaun Watson. Did they need to bring in Ken Dorsey to help with Deshaun Watson? That I'm not necessarily sure. It doesn't seem like it's helping right now. And now I got a guy who's holding on to play calling and it's calling an offense that isn't necessarily his. And an offense that doesn't look like it works. It just doesn't look like it works.
It doesn't work, and there's zero running game.
And there's
right
zero
now.
There's zero belief that it's ever going to work.
And
when's it going to work? It's been 5 weeks. You talk about a preseason, yeah. It's been 5 weeks.
Yeah, should be.
To do it.
You got rookie quarterbacks throwing for 300 yards in Caleb Williams. You've got a rookie that you saw yesterday look like a poised veteran against your defense.
Right now already, it's October 7th. I'm going from win-loss mode to find evidence mode. That's where I'm at. Find me evidence of why people should stay. Find me evidence that tells me that it's not Deshaun Watson's fault. I don't know if you can. Find me evidence that if you're calling an offense of somebody else's, then let that guy call the offense.
Yeah.
Show everybody. Show them all it's not on you. Like, I'm looking for answers here, folks.
Well, today's the day where if you called up and you screamed to the heavens that it's Deshaun Watson's fault, you're not going to get an argument from us. If you called today to scream to the heavens that it's Kevin Stefanski's fault, you're not going to get an argument from us. If you called to the heavens to say it's Ken Dorsey's fault, we'd probably say, well, we don't know what Ken Dorsey does, but we wouldn't argue. If you called today to say it was Andrew Berry's fault, we wouldn't argue with you. You can go any which way route you want to go today. Like, I'm not going to get into a big screaming match with you because it all looks broken, like you said, Kenny.
What's the scariest part? I mean, it's all scary. One of the worst parts about it, take your pick, is last week I told you, and I was right, if he continues to play like that, they ain't going to bench him. And I didn't want to turn this into let's steer into chaos. What I hate, and we do this in the draft all the time, we steer to guys. That's why Zach Wilson went number two. He plays well in chaos. Are you trying to make it chaotic on purpose? No one wants chaos. No team wants chaos. And so he plays well in spite of. That's still not going to work out long term. At least I don't think it can work out long term. And holy potatoes, did it not work out yesterday? Where you're playing in chaos and it's getting worse and worse and worse and worse. And you could see it right there on television. And anybody in the stands, it felt like the walls were closing in on all of them. And they finally were broken. And I don't know when it's going to get better. And so now I got to ask you a question. What do we say to a caller who wants to replace Deshaun Watson with Jameis Winston? Give me a good answer. Why not? Other than the contract, other than what they've invested in him when it comes to picks. Give me a good answer because I have stayed up trying to think of one and I have nothing.
Obviously he's gonna struggle too behind this offensive line, but at least they'll probably go back under center. So at least the play action game is gonna be back in it. Great. We have audio from Greg Olson about why it is really hard to run the offense they're trying to run out of the shotgun consistently.
Yeah, we'll put the quarterback under center that never likes to be under center. We'll put him under center and see if that works. And this is the reason I'm saying it, is because the fans will be the first ones to want a quarterback replacement. They're always the first ones. It's always fix this, fix this, fix this. That's in Cleveland. That's in everywhere. What do I tell the players when they eventually do it? Players will hold out to the very end. They will. Players and the team will hold out to the very end. So I guarantee there are some people in that locker room driving to work today who in the back of their head might be thinking about it. They're not saying it, and they're not texting it yet to their buddies. It seems like this is going to continue, so it's no if. It's been continuing for 5 weeks. Eventually, the players will get tired of this. And then what do I tell?
Eventually.
Again, the fans always react before the players. The players are used to being in a foxhole and trying to battle out of it. It's part of what their lives are dedicated to. It's their psyche. So I don't know what to tell a fan right now about making their, other than a bad example and other than a bad reason. These are bad, poor reasons. So I'll tell the fans that, and it's a terrible reason that I don't even agree with. But then what do you tell the players? When the players start asking it, that's when you have to make that change.
Meanwhile, you got fans that are pretty much openly rooting for the quarterback to either play well or get injured, so it takes a decision out of their hands. I saw that yesterday. Like, that's where you're at.
I don't want them to get injured.
That's where you're at right now as far as this team, this fan base that you've made such a risky move to go after this quarterback. And because we're 3 years into it, and it looks like he can't really play football at the level you need him to anymore, I mean, they're rooting for this thing to go south because that's the quickest way to them in the next frontier.
I won't root for personal injury because it's weird, and I'm not going to do that. No. Second of all, I want it proven without a shadow of a doubt. An injury would also prove it because then he's not available.
How many more games?
I want to prove it without a shadow.
Shadow of a doubt? How many more games is that?
I think as of right now, it's probably without a shadow of a doubt for about 98% of people. I want a full 100% to everybody, whether it be in the stands, whether it be out in the parking lot, whether it be in the front office. It's got to be proven. That's it, and that's all. We have to be done with this.
You don't think a healthy portion of the individuals in that building that it's already been proven?
I'm sure.
Like, quietly.
I
wonder what the divide is in that locker room. And then the next question is, what is the edict from the front office? What's the edict from Jimmy Haslam? How long does Stefanski have to stay with Deshaun Watson?
Tone, we've been down this road before. There are multiple stages to this. They've had their players-only meeting. The players-only meeting didn't work. Then they looked like on Sunday they were starting to turn on each other. Eventually they will turn on each other. Like him walking off the field in the third quarter, people were really upset. They thought that was the moment. And then it was like, well, you got 12 guys out there in the huddle. You got this thing mixed up. Because again, you can't run an offense because you got two guys that seem to be... So we don't know what offense we're running. It's week 5, by the way. Week 5. Kids, Owen's 5th and 6th grade team can get the plays in on time. For the love of God, you're professionals. And we're missing this. We're mixing this up at this time, at this critical juncture, after we just got a freaking turnover. And we can't do anything with it except for kick a field goal.
Is it bad that I was happy they were kicking the field goal? Because I thought there was no chance the fourth down was going
to
work.
18-point game?
Because that's how...
Dog. Field goal doesn't help. It didn't help at all.
I'm just laughing at going. Andrew Siciliano seemed despondent. He's like, they're going to kick the field goal.
Yeah.
I'm like, good, we need points.
No.
There's no other chance.
I agree. So we are looking at the red button right now, folks. I'm not pressing it just yet. I mean, by the way, it's just in a holding pattern that I don't want to do it yet. It doesn't mean that we won't press it. We're looking at the red button now. Is we got guys whose futures are up at stake. They've done a remarkable job for us, and we need to take a good look in the mirror and ask when this football team's going to be competitive again. Because if we can't say it's going to be competitive by the end of this year, which it's not, or next year, which already doesn't look good, we need to make some very, very tough decisions. Very tough decisions. And then I don't know what to do with the quarterback where if he ain't starting, he ain't going to be no backup. Mm-mm.
Well, he'll just be away from the football team.
Uh-huh. Exactly. So that's it.
Which is, by the way, he was when the Browns were
were
hitting on all cylinders in December last year. He was away from the football team.
Uh-huh. He ain't going to be no backup. So if he stands around the sidelines and he's got the earpiece in, you better make it the old style Tom Coughlin both headset thing, because there are going to be people yelling at him from the stands. While Jameis goes out and does whatever Jameis can do. If Jameis does well, if Jameis doesn't do well, whatever it might be. That's it. That's it, and that's all. And then they will eat that, and then we will eventually begin the process of building. But we still have November, December, we still have another 2 months left in the season. Two and a half. We haven't even got to the bye week yet. I'm just pointing out what it is. But I can't give you, my problem is I can't give you a great answer to say, oh yeah, you should keep the job. Why should you keep the job, Kenny? Well, because they paid him a contract. Not a good answer. Well, they gave up three first round. Not a good answer.
Is there any part of you that says, give the ball to Jameis to make sure that it's not Stefanski and Dorsey, that it's not the offense?
Fine, if you want to. If you want to, but that's just for us. That's not. They're trying to win football games. They're not experimenting. I know it's impossible for them to win football games, it seems, right now, but they're still trying.
Do the players think they can win football games with Deshaun Watson?
I think a lot of them are starting to feel that they can't. Just watch their body language. Watch what they're doing. These are the same players that were on this team during their December run last year. What's different? I think we all know that answer.
Yeah, I think it's easier to talk about the offense and hate the offense as a player than start hating the quarterback. I think that they're all confused. I think they're all not on the same page. This is not a Stefanski offense. I don't know. Guys, I watch the. I know that there's people. No, there's never going to be a head coach that's universally liked in this league. Never. And we change him out very, very quickly. So for him to be here 5 years, there's definitely things that people are not going to like. But you're telling me last year, everything was clicking. Everything was working with the type of quarterback that he wanted. Year one with Baker Mayfield, everything worked well. Everything was fine. And then under these different circumstances, all of a sudden there's problems. What's the common denominator here? And again, I go back to earlier this year. I think they knew that they were in trouble with him. Why are you trading for... You traded for Jerry Jeudy. Did you need to trade for Jerry Jeudy? Well, you can't draft a wide receiver, so the answer is yes. Oh, by the way, we haven't mentioned Andrew Berry's name enough here today, because that's another name that's going to be brought up several and should be brought up several times over.
I'll tell you, with the way DeJuan Jones is playing and now Martin Emerson getting absolutely cooked the way he has been so far this year, and if you want to go back last year in the playoff game, for somebody who I thought had a lot of promise, I think most Browns fans did, well, those are two of the draft picks that we thought were maybe some steals, maybe were hits,
yeah.
And now they are having trouble staying on the field. Like they're having trouble, yeah. You know, being starters in this league.
So, I mean, you got to put some on him. And, you know, DeBodesta, I don't know what he does. He only comes around, it seems like he only shows up when things are going well. So, I have no idea what to really put on him. So, this is not a good situation whatsoever, and I think it's only going to get worse. Do you disagree with that? As of right now? When's it going to get better? How's it going to get better? How are you going to make it better?
I'll tell you, I was a little nervous when Rodney McLeod was in here last week. And
poor Rodney.
He was basically saying, like, we're about to find out if this is for real or not. Like, he seemed to be a little confused as to where guys and their mindsets were. If you were reading between the lines, and we were here for an hour, and we were analyzing body language, and we were talking to him during the break, and he didn't throw anybody under the bus at any point. But he's a veteran who can speak a little more freely. And, you know, they just had that players meeting yesterday, and we're going to get him in here in studio tomorrow. I was a little nervous last week. I'll be honest. I was a little nervous. But I still thought they'd handle their business. I thought they would handle a rookie quarterback, Jim Schwartz, against a rookie. I was on the pregame show saying, why not? Why can't they go out there and play well? Why can't they make a rookie look like a rookie? And then I looked stupid. You know, 3 hours later, I looked really stupid, thinking they had a chance, thinking that maybe Deshaun Watson would build on his performance a week ago. It all went south. It all got worse.
It made Deshaun Watson look like a Browns rookie, whether it be all his fault or not. I mean, again, we could start drawing our battle lines. It's all a mess. Take your pick. Alex in Brunswick, you're first up on the fan. Hello.
Hey, guys. Thanks so much for taking the call.
Glad to have you.
Thank you. And just a few things I just wanted to touch on. Honestly, I think it's time. I know you guys get it all the time, just bench Watson and potentially put Myles Garrett on the trade block. Go for draft picks and go for Cam Ward from Miami. And then also, I think we need to get rid of Kevin Stefanski. He just doesn't show any motivation on the sideline. He doesn't seem to be a great leader. There's just no energy.
Well, you want a clean house altogether, then.
Pretty much. Mm-hmm. Pretty much. That's what I'm thinking. And then you just get as many draft picks. Miles is in, what, year seven? You know, how many years does he have left? So he might as well get more draft picks and set up the future.
Miles is in year eight. He's the only one we have that would get us a first-round pick, Alex. And thank you very much for the call. Now, I want to balk at the Kevin Stefanski talk, but I go, if we go down that road, does Kevin Stefanski want to be a part of it as a head coach, or would he rather just be paid to go away? Just got a contract extension.
The only thing that has me on pause...
Everybody outside of Cleveland says that he'd get a job.
Man, the tough thing...
I don't know if he'd be a head coach, but he'd be an OC again.
This is me not thinking with my brain, because I am watching teams turn around their fortunes in the span of a year. Like, you just saw it with Houston. Remember a year ago, we thought Houston was going to be a total joke, and already they're the team that some people are betting on to represent the AFC in the Super Bowl. Okay, there are people doing that. I mean, they're not the lead team because you got Patrick Mahomes, but people are like, wow, I mean, could Houston be the one seed? I mean, I'm already seeing that with because why? Because they hired a new coach, they have a starting quarterback that looks great, and he's young. Okay, the other one is Washington. We thought Washington was going to be one of the easiest games on the schedule, and already they're this good, and they could win the NFC East. So you can turn around these football teams. It's not a five-year build. It's not a three-year build. It literally can be the next year. You could turn this around. And so it's hard for me just emotionally to say goodbye to assets like Myles Garrett. Because I'm like, we could be good next year, but I don't know if that's realistic.
I mean, but yeah,
at this point,
these teams have picks.
I know.
What picks do we have?
I know.
Have?
And then Myles Garrett would be the only way to get those picks.
Exactly.
But you are staring at a team that could be a top five pick, could be bad enough for you could get a top five pick in this draft in April.
Yes, you could. But like Houston, we've gone over the amount of picks that they've had a million times over and how they were able to get C.J. Stroud and Will Anderson and Tank Dell and a couple of these guys who were fantastic for them. And are we going to be able to get any of these guys? Do you have the confidence in the guy picking them? Do you have the confidence in that man? Or do we need to make a change there? No answer, because we don't want to give the answers right now.
I mean, right now it all looks bad. So, you know, part of it is not, you're trying not to overreact, but this is more than just a game now. This is more than just a stretch of football. And thank God we had the stretch we did in December last year. But when you're looking at it and you're looking at the situation where the oldest starting football team, if you look at their starters, the oldest team in the NFL, they're the most expensive team in the NFL. I mean, those two things do not bode well for the organization at all.
216-474-0092. Zach in Cleveland. Zach, hello.
Guys, this is hard to watch.
You ain't kidding.
I actually was trying my hardest to find a 1 p.m. tee time yesterday, and I couldn't. Because I don't even want to give this team my money.
Well, everybody else had the same idea you did. That's why you couldn't find a 1 p.m. tee time.
Exactly. So I'm going to get ahead of the ball game for next week. But, boys, this should be an 0-5 football team. Let's be honest here. It didn't look great in Jacksonville. There were spurts of it. We were hoping to see that in every game after, and we haven't yet. It's because it's not there. He's done. Put him on the shelf. Pay him his money. Get him the hell out of here.
Well, that's what they'll do. They're going to run this thing. Zach, thank you very much for the call. They're going to run this thing as far as they possibly can, and they will run it longer than what the fans want it to go by. They will go. God, I do not want to sit there and have the conversation of injury, and then the injury thing goes away. If they bench him, it's going to be God. If they bench him, you think about this. Philadelphia, it's going to be tough. I can't believe I'm thinking of this. Go with me on this, Tone. Philadelphia, it's going to be tough. You going to bench him at home?
That might be the time where they do bench him.
Because Philadelphia, I mean, you're walking out there, they're going to let him hear it the moment he walks out there. I mean, they'll land the plane and they'll be getting jeered.
Sure.
But if they benched him at home, like if this continues, you're going to stand him on the sideline. People are going to be booing their faces off during those games if they're not going the right way. And then you bench him, and he's going to hear everything that people say with him in the first 20 rows. And they don't want to do that because they know they're never going to turn back. So, he's not going to stand there on the sidelines and be your backup. I'd be surprised. I'd really be surprised.
Well, I got to tell you, I can't believe he made it through yesterday's game. And not just in terms of, like I told you, the moment in time with about 5 minutes left in the third, 7 minutes left in the third. I thought after that fumble, that could have been it for Deshaun. And then the coach could have came out and said, hey, we couldn't protect him. We're worried about the rest of the year with him. We've got to go back to the drawing board. Like, he did have plausible deniability on that.
Mm-hmm.
And then if Jameis came in and rallied the troops, then, you know, you could just make the change. But instead, they stayed with him. He just got beat up more. And he got killed. Say what you want about Deshaun. Like, guy's a gamer. That guy was getting absolutely destroyed. Like how it would look like, I think, if I went out there in any high school football field tomorrow against a good team, I think I would get destroyed and crippled.
Yeah.
Like, even against high school kids. Like, I could see, I thought for sure that he was going to limp off the field and that would be it for him yesterday. He kept coming back for more. So I will give him that. I'll give him that. You say all the bad things you want about Deshaun, but holy crap, I thought he was getting destroyed
the
yesterday.
The same thing we said about Baker in 2021. Yeah. It's the same guy. It's the same situation. Damn it. It's the same thing. He's tough. Quarterbacks are supposed to be tough. They're supposed to be tough. That's like one of the calling cards of a professional quarterback. Me saying you're tough does not... Does that inspire very much? Great. I have a little bit of sympathy for the pounding that you take. Doesn't mean we're going to move the ball down the field any better. Doesn't mean I'm going to be a happier person at the end of the day because we're getting throttled by these teams. Throttled. 216-474-0092. Josh, on the road. You're next up on the Fan.
Hey, morning, boys.
Hi, Josh.
Hey, I just want to give us my thoughts on this. It actually is a new thought because last week you just kind of mentioned it about Andrew Berry. Like, what has he done? And, like, the more I think about it, the more I deep dive, a lot of the core pieces that we got in that playoff run last year from the Dorsey era. I mean, Miles is from the Sasha era, but Andrew Berry really hasn't picked anybody at all. And it doesn't even matter. It's all of his picks are terrible. The Elijah Moore trade with the Jets, absolutely terrible. It may have been Jimmy Haslam and everybody else with the Watson trade, but Andrew Berry's going to go down with the Watson trade. And even think about this. Last year, Deshaun Watson goes down, he traded our backup quarterback to the Vikings, and we were freaking out for 4 weeks. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? Thank God Joe Flacco had a cell phone on him, and we got lucked out. That was luck. And nothing to do with Andrew Berry. He did nothing. He was in a holding pattern. The season was possibly going to go down the dumpster. I think Andrew Berry is garbage. He needs to go. There's no way I'm trading any of our players for draft picks if Andrew Berry's picking them. And he's going to have to be responsible for the Deshaun Watson trade, this debacle of a trade.
Josh, thank you very much for the call.
You won't have to worry about that. I can tell you right now, if they start liquidating assets, it won't be Andrew Berry that has to do that. It's going to be somebody else. If they even think about trading Myles Garrett, that's not going to be an Andrew Berry move.
Well, he's going to be gone before the end of the year?
I'm just saying they won't. Well, I don't even think Andrew Berry wouldn't. I don't even think he would make that move.
Well, the trade deadline's at the end of the month.
Yeah, I don't think it would be him. I don't think it's realistic. I still don't think they would trade Myles Garrett.
Right now, no. I got four more games until the trade deadline.
Trade deadline is five. After the Chargers during the bye week.
I got five more games before the trade deadline. You can never say never. John in Wadsworth. John, hello. Yep, if I could click on him. John, hello. Go ahead, John. Sorry.
Hey, what's up, guys? Good morning.
Hi.
So, I want Watson to stay in there. Pull a Baker. Just play his way off the roster. Make the decision for us. But I don't want all this turnover. I can't believe, I mean, Ken, you keep saying it. I cannot believe that this is the exact same team last year, and it's this bad. It looks this whole 180 degrees different. So something is messed up in that locker room. I personally think it is Deshaun. I don't think they want to play with him. They don't believe in him. So let him play his way into the decision we all want to make. Bench the guy, and then you know what I want them to do? Give Stefanski a chance to get his own quarterback. Say, here's the guy that I want. If you're going to have this draft pick or whatever you're going to do, say, this is the guy I can work with. Because look what he did with Flacco. Look what he did, you know, with the dude in Minnesota who was our backup, Case Keenum. You know, like you said, the first year with Baker. Stop giving him a quarterback where you go, here, work with this guy. No. He knows what he's doing with a certain type. Let him pick that guy. So let Deshaun play him his ass off this roster and then give Stefanski a chance to pick a guy he wants to work with.
Yeah, but again, my problem is, John, and what you're saying makes a lot of sense, and thank you very much for the call. They just have they will have at the end of this a dearth of picks, and then they won't have very much talent to work with, and my thought is, does he really want to be a part of that? Would he get a favor if you were to put him out of his misery and send him away? Would you do such a thing?
Because there's a lot of things about Kevin Stefanski I've grown to like over the last 5 years. This isn't what is this offense? This isn't his offense. So what are we making him run here? I mean, you said it yourself. He's won Coach of the Year twice. He got a contract extension. He's been here 5 years. Isn't power supposed to grow? Where's the power at? Does it seem like his power has shrunk?
It was the one thing that was really weird after he won the second Coach of the Year and they went to the playoffs and they had four quarterbacks used en route to being able to go to the playoffs, was that we waited forever to hear about the contract extension, and then they make him get rid of the offensive coordinator. They say goodbye to his buddy, Alex Van Pelt. They bring in Ken Dorsey. And I did question at the time. I'm like, normally, like Sean Payton, when he started New Orleans, had much less power than he had 5 years later. Where is that in this situation? Why doesn't Kevin Stefanski have more power?
Sometimes you just need a fix.
FML, my life.
My life.
FML,
fix my life.
Denny, what do?
Fixing lives.
My life.
Folks, we have playoff baseball today. Some of the best words in the English language when you combine them. And we're combining them because it's game two. ALDS today. And boy, if you are fortunate enough to have playoff tickets, you got to be really excited. And one member, actually two members of the show, are going to be going to this game today. We know Mitch, who's screening the calls. He's going again. And he authored up a fabulous post-game show on Saturday. Also, Owen is going to the game today. Now, are we allowed to unveil who you're taking, or is that going to ruin?
Yeah, that'll ruin.
Yeah, we'll ruin things. Okay, we're not going to talk about that. But Owen is going to that game today. And Owen is somebody who, very similar to me, go to a baseball game in the regular season, and you start hobnobbing. You start walking around. Yeah. You are going to have fun. You're going to buy drinks at seven different vendors.
Oh, yes, of course. I have my guys that I go see.
And you may never even actually sit in the seats that you purchased.
I have to look on my app, but I believe this year I've been to 25 games this year.
Wow.
And I've been in my seat probably four of those.
I'm with you. That's how I like to take it all in. However, it is playoff time.
Yeah.
Every pitch is life or death. And the meandering around, the teleporting around the stadium might not be something the ushers are going to allow. So what is going to be your plan of attack? Because your tickets are upstairs.
Yeah, we're up in the five. So I bought tickets, same spot, for the Astros series, because they were doing $12, you know, last week, do it for the fans thing. I did not pay $12 this time.
Ah.
They were exceedingly more because they're playoff tickets. And thing that we don't get, you know, 2 years ago, they played the Rays in the wild card, and we went to those games. Those prices were more, but they weren't outrageous. We forget that they've skipped around already. We're already into the ALDS. The prices start to go up more. Ask the season ticket holders. If they make it back to the World Series, those prices go up to where people contemplate moving on from those tickets. I have these tickets today. I have my routine that I love to do at the ballpark. I've said it before. We get drinks and we do laps and see how many drinks we can get in before we get the laps done. I don't think I can do laps today.
No. It's going to be too packed.
I am between too packed and also I got to be locked in for this game, right? Like this, if they win this game, the series is essentially wrapped up.
Yeah, I mean, you've got to be there and sitting in your seat. The alcohol has to come second, or the drinks or the concessions.
Well, let's not talk like that.
Let's not say things you can't take back.
I know. And if things are going well, maybe you're going to want to have a few. And if things are going really bad, maybe you're going to want to have a few. But this is a tight game. If this one is neck and neck, you know, throughout, and there's a lot of strategy, there's a lot of, you know, pitching coach out to see the pitcher. Are we going to make a decision, lefty, righty? I mean, you ain't got to sit in your seat. And I've told you, playoff baseball, like, people don't mess around. Like, it's kind of like going to Playhouse Square, where you can't just be going up and down the aisles.
I believe we are on the end, which is good.
That is good.
Then that becomes, am I the gatekeeper for the row? Am I going to let people out and moving during?
People get annoyed, though.
While ball's in play, right?
And this happens even in Cavs playoff games. Like, you aren't just sauntering up and down the aisles. The usher is going to have the little flashlight and going to go, hold on. They're going to put the stop sign up. Like, we got baseball here. We got baseball. You're not getting everybody's way. So that's what I wonder. Like, you got the standing room only portion, too.
Right.
Normally,
that's why I say I never go to my seat, because we will just buy whatever we can get into the door with and then just stand down in right field or left field at the drink rails. I don't know that there's going to be any of those.
They will if you
available.
2 hours well, early in the mat.
You have to go early. 2 hours early.
Yeah. Well, you don't want to go early.
I want to go to the bars over here on Prospect.
I think the standing room only right there at the fence, you've got to be there 2 hours
early.
I
want to go to the bars. Stop making me go to the game.
If you want to wish in one hand and you know what in the other, fine, but this is a different type of atmosphere. I think you're going to have to go early, buddy. You're going to have to go there right when the gates open. You're going to have to be one of them dudes who get there when the gates open, watch the BP. Watch the BP session of it. Stand at the drink rails. I'm sorry. There's no other way to tell you about this. I mean, maybe you can, if you stay down here or get down here early, then maybe you could go in a little bit afterwards. But other than that, I don't think you're getting no. You better be there early.
Yeah, Twitter reaction brought to you by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. Nick says, nope, it's the playoffs. Be in your seat and be loud. No excuses.
All right. Yep. I'll put my eye black on. I'll get my gloves on.
No season, man.
It's
not August 4th. It's time to get in there and get going. They got to get a win today. Taking on Tarek Skubal. Cy Young leader.
Got to make noise.
Got to make noise.
Absolutely.
I have my rally towel that Curtis brought us the other day. I was practicing, giving it the giving the old heave-ho.
It's not your arm's not to move too big. Your hand should move around. That's what you're supposed to do. All right, real quick, Anthony in Cleveland Heights, hello.
Hey, okay, so I got tickets to today's game, I'm going to be sitting down, not moving. I'll be too amped. So, the only weird thing about the playoffs is, here's the thing. I've been to about 15 games this year, but during the season, if you go to, let's say, a bar, and watch the game, there's really no, most people aren't even paying attention for the most part, so there's no atmosphere. But the weird thing is, even though I go to a bunch of games a year, the later in the playoffs it gets, to me, the less need I have to be in the stadium, because any bar I go to is going to be packed. I mean, I can go back to 2016, obviously, and I was at the City Tap downtown. The place went ape you-know-what when Rajay Davis hit the home run. I had no desire. Actually, it turned out I was glad I didn't pay $500 for the single seat I found walking around downtown before Game 7 started. But, the later in the playoffs we get, the less need I personally have to be in the stadium, because any bar anywhere becomes complete madness.
That is part of it. And, Anthony, thank you very much for the call.
According to Anthony, I don't even need to go in.
Saying you don't need to be in there early, then, is what it is.